Have you ever felt like you're leading a team, basically across quicksand, where every step feels risky and the path ahead just keeps dissolving? It's super frustrating, right? Exhausting often. Well, you, our listener, sent us a really fascinating scenario. It's a real-world leadership challenge, actually, from a team lead over on Reddit. And they're grappling with exactly this kind of thing: huge market shifts, loads of team uncertainty. So today, we're not just looking at the quicksand. We're going to dive into how a powerful framework called the Clarity Lab method might offer a structured way through it. Think of it maybe as a shortcut to being, well-informed on tackling that classic we don't know yet feeling, but with purpose. Okay, let's unpack this.
Yeah, and what's really fascinating about this Reddit post is how it highlights a common blind spot, almost an instinct, in decision-making, especially under pressure, which is that rush to find solutions before we really truly understand the problem itself. The Clarity Lab method is designed precisely to counteract that. It pushes us towards problem-based thinking first. It's about building that solid foundation of understanding before you even start thinking about blueprints or solutions. So our mission today is really to explore how it's three sort of interconnected phases could equip a leader like the one on Reddit to lead decisively, not by, having all the answers, because often you don't, but by mastering the right questions, even when the whole landscape is shifting under your feet.
Okay, let's zoom in on that Reddit leader situation then. They're leading a team at a mid-size B2B SaaS company. They've got these aggressive growth targets for the year, pretty standard stuff, but as they put it, the ground beneath them keeps shifting. And it's not just internal pressure. The market itself is reacting, sometimes irrationally, they say, to the whole LLM, large language model, and automation boom. So customers are either freezing budgets while they figure out their AI strategy, or they're pushing the company to integrate AI features faster than we're comfortable doing. Kind of a catch-22.
Exactly. Damned if you do, damned if you don't, almost.
Right. And internally, the message from the top is all positive. Lean in, seize the opportunity. AI is a tailwind. But this leader is honest. They admit, I'm not sure we know how to seize it yet. We're still figuring out what's real and what's just hype.
Which is a very common feeling right now, I think.
Right,
totally. And this isn't just abstract strategy talk. It's hitting the team hard. They're burning a lot of energy, spinning on strategy, chasing speculative feature requests, constantly replanning quarter by quarter. Morale is described as okay, but brittle, which sounds precarious.
Yeah, brittle's a good word. It suggests things could snap easily.
Exactly. And the leader feels exhausted by this tension, trying to be transparent but also inspire confidence. They ask that key question: how do you keep your team focused and hopeful when the honest answer to many questions is, we don't know yet? It's such a relatable leadership bind.
It really is. And that is the core challenge, the perfect entry point for the Clarity Lab method. Because it fundamentally shifts how you approach that we don't know yet. It reframes it. Instead of seeing it as a leadership failure, it becomes a structured, even powerful starting point. The method directly pushes back against that pressure to rush into solutions before you properly diagnose the problem. What it makes you do first is slow down just enough to ask, okay, what is actually worth deciding here? What's the real decision we need to make? And that question is just critical when the path isn't clear and there's a big risk of, jumping onto familiar solutions too early or chasing shiny objects like maybe some AI features that don't solve the real underlying issue.
Okay, so you start with explore together, makes sense, clarify the problem. But in that kind of environment, the one our Reddit leader is in, fast moving, high pressure, everyone yelling AI is a tailwind, how do you actually get the buy-in to slow down? Isn't the instinct just to move faster, hit those targets?
It absolutely is the instinct. And many leaders do see this explore phase as hitting the brakes, like it's a dangerous delay when those aggressive growth targets are looming. But here's the counterintuitive bit. In these really ambiguous situations, slowing down here is often the fastest route to genuine clarity and ultimately effective action. This phase, it's about surfacing the underlying forces, the currents shaping the situation, not just the ripples on the surface. And you do that by really digging in. What are the root cause problems, not just the symptoms? Who and what are the key influences really driving things? And maybe most importantly, what assumptions are we operating under without even realizing it? So for our Reddit leader, it means getting beyond just we need AI features or budgets are frozen.
Okay, so how? What does that look like practically?
Well, techniques like the five whys can be surprisingly powerful. So instead of stopping at customers are freezing budgets, you ask, why? Maybe it's because they're waiting for an AI strategy. Okay, why? Because they're not sure how AI actually impacts their specific business yet.
Yeah.
Why? Well, maybe because there's so much hype, they can't tell real value from speculation, and they're scared of making the wrong bet. And suddenly, you've gone from a surface symptom, frozen budgets, to a deeper problem, customer confusion and risk aversion. It's not just a feature gap anymore.
Right, peeling back the layers.
Exactly. And something like a PESEL analysis, you know, political, economic, social, technological, legal, environmental, that could be invaluable too. Most folks might jump straight to technological because of AI.
Sure, makes sense.
But PESEL forces you to look wider. For instance, are those economic budget freezes only about AI uncertainty? Or are they linked to broader market slowdowns? Or maybe legal changes around data privacy are influencing things? Or social shifts in how people expect work to be done? It reveals those hidden interconnected forces that are really shaping the competitive landscape, grounding your decisions in, you know, actual context, not just abstract fears about AI.
So it stops you from just reacting to the loudest noise, which seems to be AI right now.
Precisely. And you also need to surface assumptions, like are we assuming users just want more features? Or our competitors definitely have better AI. You got to make those explicit before you build strategies on them. Challenge those beliefs. And finally, stakeholders. Our leader needs to think beyond just my customers and my team. Using stakeholder mapping helps identify everyone. The execs pushing the lean-in narrative, other teams affected by potential changes, maybe even key influencers within customer organizations. Understanding their different interests and power levels is key. Look, this exploration, it isn't a delay tactic. It is progress. Getting clarity on the problem space itself opens up possibilities you just wouldn't see otherwise. It turns these big, scary problems into something potentially solvable.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So you do the deep dive. You use things like Five Whys, PESEL, stakeholder mapping. You get this richer understanding, this map of the territory. But you've still got the map. Where do you actually go? That brings us to elaborate, right? Which is about expanding options and testing possibilities. How? This sounds like the direct opposite of what our Reddit leader feels they're doing now, which is chasing speculative feature requests, sort of narrowing down too fast.
Exactly right. Many decision processes try to converge way too quickly, get to the answer. Elaborate is designed to combat that. It helps reduce the risk of path dependency, just sticking to the first road you find. And it builds really vital resilience to uncertainty. How? By deliberately developing multiple possible directions before you commit to one. And for a market as volatile, as fast-moving as AI currently is, that's just essential. Gives you more meaningful choices later because you've explored a range of plausible futures, not just one guess.
So instead of desperately seeking the AI strategy...
Yeah, instead of that, the leader could use something like scenario planning. You create these structured stories about different ways the future might unfold. Plausible futures, for instance, one scenario. AI becomes a commodity. Basic features are expected, so innovation has to happen elsewhere. Another scenario, AI is a premium differentiator. Deep, specialized AI for specific niches is the winning play. Exploring these helps the team think through the implications for their product, their skills, their offerings under different conditions. It reduces that shock factor when the market inevitably zigs instead of zags.
Okay, I like that. Exploring multiple futures. But how do you test these ideas without, you know, betting the farm?
That's where low-risk experimentation comes in. Making ideas tangible. Our leader isn't sure how to seize the AI opportunity. Well, they could bring possibilities to life without massive investment. They could use an experienced prototype, like mock up an AI chatbot handling basic customer queries, passing complex ones into a human. Then you run a sort of day-in-the-life simulation. How does the agent feel? Where do the handoffs get clunky? What new skills pop up as necessary? You get to feel that future workflow, spot friction, find unexpected benefits way before you build the whole system.
Ah, okay. So it's about the human side too, not just the tech.
Very much so. Or you could use story prototypes. Narrate how different types of customers, say, a big enterprise versus a small business, would actually interact with a proposed AI service. Makes abstract ideas much more concrete. And instead of building full features right away, they could create minimum viable prototypes, or MVPs. Focus only on the core bits needed to test your biggest assumptions. Learn fast, learn cheap.
That validation quickly.
Precisely. And this prototyping, it does more than just generate insights. It also builds momentum and engagement.
Mm.
It makes potential futures feel more real, more immediate. And that could be a huge boost for that brittle team morale we talked about. It turns vague ideas into something tangible people can react to, giving them a sense of progress.
Okay, this is getting really interesting. You've explored the real problem, you've elaborated on different possible futures, even prototyped bits of them. But now comes the hard part, right? Making it actually happen. bridging that gap between the whiteboard and the real world, especially when the market's still like a moving target. That's land and scale, isn't it? Making sure the clarity leads to action.
Exactly. And the method is very clear that this is often where things fall apart. It explicitly acknowledges that even the most brilliant insights and compelling visions often fail to create lasting change in the messy reality of organizations. So this phase directly tackles that implementation gap. It's all about ensuring those insights actually turn into real sustainable change. For our Reddit leader, this means structuring decisions so they're not just actionable and measurable, but critically also capable of adaptation over time, because the AI landscape will keep evolving.
So how do they do that, especially with that internal tension, the AI is a tailwind message versus the team's uncertainty?
An influence blueprint becomes really key here. First, you map out those stakeholders. Again, execs, frontline staff, maybe key customers involved in pilots. Then you design stakeholder-specific approaches. This includes narrative tailoring. You frame the AI transformation differently for different groups. Execs might need the ROI story. Engineers might need clarity on technical scope and skill development. Customers need to understand the value to them. The core message stays consistent, but you tailor the delivery to address specific concerns and motivations. This avoids spreading anxiety with a one-size-fits-all message that doesn't resonate.
Tailoring the story makes sense. What about planning, though? If the market's uncertain, how do you make a plan that isn't obsolete tomorrow?
Yeah, a traditional, rigid, multi-year plan is just not going to work here. It'll break. So the method pushes for progressive elaboration. You detail the near-term actions much more concretely. Like for the next quarter, define specific AI pilot projects, assign clear owners, set learning goals. But for the longer term, say the next 2 quarters, it's more directional. You identify key decision points, key things you need to learn, rather than locking in specific features. You have to build in decision points and feedback loops. This keeps the roadmap flexible. The team can adapt based on what they actually learn from those pilots, from real-world data, not just constantly planning quarter by quarter based on the latest hype or fear.
So the plan itself is designed to be adaptable.
It has to be. And finally, how do you know if any of this is actually working? Beyond just, you know, we ship the feature, our leader needs to set up an evaluation framework using mixed methods. Combine the quantitative stuff usage data from pilot features, maybe time saved on certain tasks with qualitative feedback, talk to the team, interview customers deeply about their experience. This creates accountability, sure, but more importantly, it enables learning. It shows tangible progress, tangible impact, even when the overall environment is still ambiguous. This whole phase, land and scale, it recognizes implementation isn't just executing a checklist. It's about creating the conditions for sustainable transformation. You have to address the technical stuff, what needs to happen, and the adaptive stuff, how people and the organization will respond to the change.
Okay, so the Clarity Lab method gives you the structured path through the fog, explore, elaborate, land, and scale. But it also sounds incredibly flexible, adaptable. What really makes it different, do you think? Especially for someone like our Reddit leader facing that constant flux and replanning.
Yeah, that adaptability is crucial. And one key thing is that these phases, they're not strictly linear. That's really important. They're better understood as different modes of thinking that you can and often should move back and forth between as needed. This fluid approach directly acknowledges the messy reality of complex problems. It addresses that feeling our Reddit user has of constantly replanning. Because insights you gain later, say during prototyping and elaborate, might absolutely require you to revisit your understanding of the problem back and explore. That's not failure, that's learning.
So it's okay to loop back.
Not just okay, it's built in. The method explicitly gives permission to backtrack. In a fast-changing market like AI, that's vital. Backtracking isn't failure. It's refining your understanding based on new information. And the method emphasizes iteration everywhere, within each phase and between the phases. This directly fights that very human tendency towards premature convergence, you know, latching onto the first decent idea you find. It helps our leader avoid rushing into half-baked solutions just to feel like they're doing something. Clarity isn't really a destination you arrive at. It's more of a continuous journey of refinement.
I like that. Clarity as a journey.
And maybe the most practical principle is the idea of minimum viable clarity. The goal isn't perfect, 100% understanding or complete certainty. That's usually impossible anyway. It's about achieving sufficient clarity at each stage to move forward productively, to take the next intelligent step. Just knowing that can really alleviate some of that exhaustion our Reddit leader feels, that pressure to know everything when you simply can't. Focus on just enough clarity to act.
So bring it back to our tired but hopeful team lead. What does this all mean for them? It sounds like it means that feeling of we don't know yet isn't actually a dead end. It's more like an invitation.
Exactly. An invitation to a structured, purposeful exploration. It's a way to navigate that complexity with intention, with agency, rather than just being swept along by the currents of change.
So for you listening, the Clarity Lab method really offers a way to navigate that kind of ambiguity, that quicksand feeling, with more confidence and purpose by systematically exploring the real problem, really digging into it, then elaborating on multiple possible futures, testing them out, and then landing those insights with adaptable plans. You're not just reacting. You're actually intentionally shaping your path forward. And maybe the big takeaway from this deep dive is that having sufficient clarity to move forward productively is often way more impactful and realistic than chasing perfect certainty, especially when the world just keeps changing around us.
And if we just zoom out for a final thought, this method, it fundamentally changes how we might think about decision-making and leadership, especially in uncertain times. It suggests that maybe the most powerful leadership isn't about having all the answers ready to go. Maybe it's about mastering the questions and about fostering your habit, asking those tough questions, exploring uncertainty, even backtracking when you learn something new, where all of that is seen as the truest form of progress. So the question for you is, how might embracing that kind of shift empower your team to find their own clarity right in the middle of all the confusion? How can it turn uncertainty from just a threat into, an opportunity for real growth and innovation?